Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 130, Amateur Nation. They'll tell you what's right for you. Fans first, as always, shouts out to John Smith from Canton, Ohio, and John Carter of Charlotte, North Carolina. Other big news, new No Amateur men's and women's t-shirts and keychains are indeed coming very soon. The tees for the men will be soft, pre-shrunk, and sporting the No Amateurs logo and a waving American flag above it. And the women's tees are super soft and are fitted with a V-neck. So they're coming soon. You'll be able to order them on my website, lousantini.com, very soon. So please keep checking. Or also the soon-to-come Amateur Nation website. Even better, you have a chance to be heard on this show and win a free t-shirt and keychain. Those details are coming, I promise. Now, I don't want to oversell it, but this episode just may be the greatest thing to ever happen in mankind since fire. You ready?
Yeah, my dream is to go pro.
Topic number one.
Why the push for these untested, unproven vaccine experiments? And more to the point, why are they trying to persuade, con, and pressure us pros to get the shot in such a wide variety of ways and angles? We've seen the painful angles, Amateur Nation posting homemade songs on TikTok and Instagram, TV commercials, public service announcements, states having vaccine lotteries, businesses giving up to $50 in free stuff if you play guinea pig with your body, going door to door, and don't forget Amateur Nation itself, screaming, crying, whining, and bullying, all because they care about their fellow man. Despite fewer deaths, fewer cases, and substantially more knowledge about the underlying health issues of the majority of those who died and or had the most complications from COVID, the obese, those with diabetes, and or those with heart disease. Top it off with more information daily that Dr. Keebler L. Fauci lied, is corrupt, and is complicit with the World Health Organization and CDC. But they haven't tried the Bible angle yet. Up until now, until Cammy the Hyena Harris gave this pandering, poorly acted, completely transparent, overly humble little speech. I want you to listen to the sincerity. Listen to the pauses. She thinks she's a good public speaker. I've been public speaking literally since I was six. She thinks she's a good public speaker. She is a horrible public speaker with the cackling, the chicken wing flapping arms, the bobbing of the head, the overly dramatic pauses. It's all an act. What you're not seeing, because this is a podcast, you'll get the audio here, is the trademark arms flapping like a chicken move she does when she gets nervous. Notice how her tone of voice goes from official to every man and down home. She's fooling no one in Pro Nation. I'll break down her smokescreen speech after it's done. Give it a listen. Here we go.
If you have not yet been vaccinated, you know, some people said, I'm going to wait. I want to wait and see how this all turns out, how everybody else is doing with it, right? So I'm going to give it 6 months. It's July. It's time. So it is time, and it is time to roll up your sleeves and get the shot. And if you already have, find someone who hasn't and help them. And talk to them as we are having this conversation now. Born out of love, born out of concern, and born out of knowledge, again, that it will save lives. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was I was down in Atlanta at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And it was good to be back there. And the church, of course, you all know this is the church where Dr. King preached. Until the day he died. And today, it is a place of worship, but as most places of worship, also a place of healing. It is a vaccination site. Then and now, a place of healing. And when I was there, I talked with a bunch of folks, and in particular, I met with a bunch of folks who had just been vaccinated, and the healthcare workers who administered the vaccines. And I said then, what I will repeat today, I do believe that the act of getting vaccinated is the very essence of what the Bible tells us when it says, love thy neighbor. Right?
Yeah, I'm kind of weird like that in that I want to wait and see how this turns out. Call me crazy. I'm in perfect health, save for a few aches and pains. I'm not dying of a terminal illness and willing to try an experimental drug to see if I can be cured. I'm healthy. And even if I got COVID, do I really need to repeat? 99.8 survival rate. So why do I need to get it again? To protect you, who already may be vaccinated anyway? And if you're not and you got COVID, you still also have a 99.8 survival rate? And even though vaccinated, you could still possibly get sick? Like, how many celebrities have been getting this, and politicians and professional athletes? So I have to run the risk of life-altering side effects for you? Yeah, that's not how life works. Oh, she laughed really hard, which is, well, what a shocker. So I guess I was being ridiculous. She laughed hard. I was being ridiculous. I'm silly. So now the Bible is in play, huh? Okay. It also says in the Bible, thou shalt not steal, as in stealing our rights, our time, our freedoms, our sanity, and our election. Nice try, Skag. She also said, and if you've already gotten the shot, find someone who hasn't and I quote, help them. Help me do what exactly? This isn't me convincing you that an over-the-counter medicine really helped with my allergies. This is a little more serious. Like, I have allergies. I take Claritin. It works great. I recommend it to people. Like, oh, it really does work. Give it 2 or 3 days. You got to take it every day during allergy season. But it really works. And I get bad allergies, and it works. However, there also is an over-the-counter medication for allergies called Zyrtec. Pharmacists said people with high blood pressure should not be taking Zyrtec. I didn't know that. I'm not recommending Zyrtec. This is not an ad for Claritin or Zyrtec, by the way. My point is, everyone has different biology and a different physical makeup and different underlying health conditions that sometimes make it so that not everyone can take the same medicine, whether it's over-the-counter or a prescription. This is common sense. More on that in a moment. But back to Kamie Harris's statement. Oh, so this pressure, this bullying, this invasion of my privacy, of my home and my body is born out of love. I totally misread your signals. Amateurs who say this, I got the shot and I'm totally fine. Well, goody gumdrops for you. Your body is different than mine. Also, you notice some people who had COVID were totally fine, like myself. And some struggled and recovered, and some struggled and died, which proves that every body is different and reacts differently to illness and medication. Then she brings Dr. King to the table. Dr. Martin Luther King. Funny how Amateur Nation doesn't mention how Dr. King spoke out against all forms of racism and all infringements of our personal freedoms for all. The Bible does indeed teach love thy neighbor. Even if you're not religious, everyone knows that. That's the underlying theme of the Bible. Love thy neighbor, do unto others. Doesn't take a genius. That's common sense, but it's in there. So yes, the Bible does indeed teach love thy neighbor. Doesn't that also mean minding your own business and respecting thy neighbor's privacy? That's a form of love, leaving me alone. Not knowing what thy neighbor might be going through before you knock on thy door with thy self-appointed power. Here are some other well-known Bible sentiments you can throw back at these amateurs that, frankly, blaspheme the Bible. That's what they're doing. They're blaspheming the Bible. Whether you're religious or not, whether you believe in the Bible or not, that was blasphemy. Using it as a weapon. That's exactly what she's doing. For those of you who might get the shot and might indeed die from it, or those of you who know someone who got the shot and did die from it, like many have, thereby serving as a warning to us pros who decline the experiment, which it is. Here's John 15:13. Greater love has no one more than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's tough. These people's allergic reactions, ranging from paralysis to death, serve as a warning to their friends, us, fellow pros. If Cammie Harris wants to live by the Bible's teachings, here's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And if my body is a temple, I'm not allowing visitors I don't know anything about, i.e. untested vaccines, into it. Matthew 9, verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Oh, that's right. This is a preventative vaccine. That was written before modern medicine. Only one thing about that: 99.8% cure rate. Yeah, I know you're sick of hearing it, amateurs, but it's a fact. It's not a feeling or an emotion. I know that's uncomfortable territory for you, amateurs, but facts trump all. I know. You amateurs, you got the shot and you feel totally fine. I'm happy for you. Really. I'm glad nothing bad happened to you. I'm not being sarcastic here. You're lucky. Now leave me alone and check back with me in 1 to 10 years for your health update, won't you? By the way, here are some quotes from some other famous literary works that speak on behalf of strong-willed pros who don't want the vaccine. And you can quote these as well if they're starting to quote the Bible at you, in addition to those other Bible verses I just mentioned. Here's one from Jane Eyre. "I am no bird and no net ensnares me. I am a free human being with an independent will, which I now exert to leave you." Here's a quote from Frankenstein. "Beware, for I am fearless and therefore powerful." That is pronation. From Hamlet. "This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." From Les Miserables, "It is nothing to die, it is dreadful not to live." From The Invisible Man, "Life is to be lived, not controlled, and humanity is won by continuing to play in face of certain defeat." And here's one I think everyone knows. From Shawshank Redemption, "Get busy living or get busy dying." I recently posted this on my Facebook and Instagram feeds. Do you really think if every single person in America just got vaccinated, all of a sudden, life would return to the way it was pre-March of 2020? Are amateurs that stupid? Do they really think if every single person, it has to be everyone, we got what, 350 million people in America? You can't have 349,999,999. No, it's got to be everyone. Do the amateurs really think if everyone just got that, there would be no more issues of control, no more invasions of our privacy, no more stand over here, don't touch that, wash your hands, no more you can't travel anymore. Like, life would literally just be, hey, everyone's traveling, we're all going to sporting events, it's just the way it is. Like Hillary Clinton said on Twitter, it's real simple, get the shot, get your life back. Are amateurs that stupid? Answer, yes. No pause in my voice. Yes, they are that stupid. They are that emotional. And they are that self-righteous. It took only one reply when I posted that. One! Within seconds! Before an amateur responded with, "How's that medical degree going?" And there it is. The knee-jerk reaction, medical response based on fear and in fear, which tells me a few things. One, you still think it's about health and medicine? Wow. Number two, you've ignored the fact that regardless of the virus, you won't let yourself be outraged that this was released upon the world intentionally and covered up. And the cover-up's always worse than the crime, by Dr. Keebler-L. Fauci, and was complicit in the corruption of the WHO and the CDC. And number three, you are in denial that this is about control. 15 days to flatten the curve. How's my medical degree going? Not at all. How's my common sense going? I'm crushing it. So many amateurs say, if they just wear their mask, we could get back to normal. As if you can make an entire population do the same thing at the same time, which is theoretically impossible. And now, if everyone just get the vaccine, we could all get back to normal. Noticing a pattern here? A corrupt government that pushes an untested vaccine on everyone without regard to their biology and medical history is not a government that cares about getting back to normal. But you didn't get an adverse reaction to the shot, so it's fine for everyone. The same way they say, well, you didn't die from COVID, so you can't judge. Sure I can. Because it proves my point that every body is different, reacts differently to the same illness, and reacts differently to the same medicine. This has nothing to do with a medical degree. Common sense replaces the need for science. I've said that before, and that's a fact. Scientists don't look into things that are common sense. They look into problems that they need to solve, that we don't have common sense to solve for ourselves. Common sense replaces the need for science because it's common sense. Common, meaning everyone knows it, and it's universally true. And sense, because you sense when something just isn't right or is right. But at least the regular flu has all but evaporated.
Topic number two.
If you're a fan of this show, then you're probably a fan of the Babylon Bee. It's a new satire website that publishes satirical articles on topics including religion, politics, current events, and public figures. Now, recently, the CEO of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, said this regarding cancel culture, our freedom of speech, and how it pertains to comedians. Listen to him.
We have to be willing to say the things that we're not supposed to say and make the jokes that we're not supposed to make. They have this new thing now. Have you guys ever heard of punching down? Punching down is this new criticism of comedians. You're not allowed to punch down. And I wonder, what do they mean when they say that? Imagine thinking to yourself, I can't joke about those people. They're beneath me. Could you imagine having that thought go through your head? Like, how condescending is that? I can't joke about those people. They're beneath me. If I were to joke about women, I'd be punching down. They're beneath me. That's absurd. If you believe we're all equal, then you should be able to joke about anything and anybody. But it's one of the ways that they're trying to silence comedians. By making rules about who you can and who you can't joke about.
Okay, first of all, pro. Anyone who has common sense or logic in their brain, i.e. pros, cannot argue with any of that. Now, it's not that I'm going to dive into the easily offended cancel culture woke mob that is a small but childishly noisy minority in America, but I would like you to stay with me as I follow this train of thought after seeing a great, loving, fun, silly scene from the iconic TV comedy, The Office. Listen carefully and stay with me through this train, okay? I was watching season 9, episode 25, called ARRM. It was near the end of the series run. The series was nearing the end. There was a brief scene where Daryl, played by black comedian and actor Craig Robinson, his skin color is mentioned for a reason, stay with me, was leaving the office for brighter pastures, got a new job, and the rest of the staff was upset with him because he didn't want to tell anybody, and he didn't make a big deal of his departure. They felt a little cheated. They thought they were closer friends than that, and like I said, they felt slighted. So, after they approached him, they insisted, to make it up to them, lightheartedly, that he dance with all of them in the office one last time. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to say to the end, lest any amateur start having a knee-jerk reaction. I know the pros will, but I'm telling the amateurs, if you are indeed listening, to listen carefully. Throughout the dance, It was a big dance number. I forget which song was it. It was Casey and the Sunshine Band, but was it Boogie Shoes? Whatever. It was a fun dance, well-known disco type party song. Throughout the dance, stereotype after stereotype after stereotype was shown. Black Daryl dancing extra funky with black man Stanley Hudson, who is a salesman in the office, sharing a brotherhood, so to speak, a kinship, as they somehow instinctively knew choreographed hip-hop moves. Then there was the stereotype when Daryl danced with gay accountant Oscar, as Oscar flamboyantly performed a dance, despite the fact that for most of the series, Oscar was just a regular acting guy who just happened to be gay. But in the dance number, Oscar laid it on extra thick in a stereotypical gay fashion. Dancing with the white guy showed the white guys dancing badly stereotype, doing awkward moves or cheesy mowing the lawn and stirring the pot type dance moves. And here's the thing. All of that was funny. All of it was accurate. All of it was fun and joyful and a celebration of life full of variety. And that's what made it, dare I say, beautiful. It was a beautiful scene in that show. Sure, it's not 100% accurate in terms of what groups of people can dance well or how, but for the most part, it showed that's why stereotypes exist. Stereotypes exist because in at least 51%, which is the majority, 51% of the time, it probably rings true. It's probably true that gay guys dance flamboyantly. It's probably true that white guys dance poorly. It's probably true that black guys are the best dancers. Are there good dancers in all of those categories? Absolutely. Are there bad dancers in all of those categories? Absolutely. Trust me, I've emceed over 1,000 live events, most of them being wedding receptions, and I've seen my share of bad dancers, despite the stereotypes, but I've also seen the stereotypes ring true. Here's the point. Despite all those differences and awkwardnesses, it displayed the loving camaraderie and understanding of the entire staff in the office, of humanity. It was not about celebrating minority pride or gay pride or pride of a certain nation. It was just about people having fun with each other while still acknowledging, hey, black people probably dance a little better. The Latin guys dance more flamboyantly, and white people generally aren't good at dancing. So what? It's about a celebration of life. It's not racist to show Craig Robinson, who is black, and the guy who plays Stanley in The Office, who is also black, dancing exceptionally well, like they just fell into a groove. It's not racist to show Oscar, who plays a gay Latin accountant, all of a sudden dancing like Madonna from the video Vogue and being well choreographed. It's not racist to show white men dancing poorly and doing cheesy moves from the 70s and 80s. You do know, amateurs, that being a minority doesn't make you less than, right? It just means there are less of you. That's why they call it minorities. If you amateurs think minority means you're treated like you are less than, that's on you. If you were in a room of 10 people and 7 have dark hair and 3 have blonde hair and you are blonde, you're in the minority. You're the ones who think that you are treated less than because it's in your head and you allow yourself to be a victim. You allow it. No one can make you a victim. You allow it. You're the ones who think that we pros think that you are less than. We pros don't think that. There are simply less of you. There are less black people than white people in America. There are less Hispanic people than white people in America. There are less Asian people than traditional Caucasian people in America. It doesn't mean that any of those groups are less than white people in America. It just means there are less of them. Wake up! You already have the same rights and freedoms as us plain old white folks. You just act like you don't, and you use it as an excuse not to try or compete or succeed. And that's the sad part. Not only is that not the case in all minorities, it is the case in few of those minorities. You don't realize how many of your fellow minority friends have succeeded. Like the majority of them have. But you watch movies and TV shows and videos and YouTube clips and other social media and mainstream media that just keep feeding that you're less than mindset. You'll never get caught up. You can't do it because the odds are stacked against you. You're a victim. White man took stuff from you. Didn't work that way. Watch the other side of minorities who have happy family lives, successful businesses, and somehow have all the same freedoms and benefits of those oppressive white people. And for you to think that they only got success and got that way and have a good family life because they kissed up to white people is insulting to them. They earned that. Do you think you're right because you're the noisiest and most emotional? That's all you are, noisy and emotional. The rest of us pros, majorities and minorities alike, are too busy working hard and succeeding and enjoying life and each other. Just like in that episode of The Office. Just admit it. You're lazy and you're a victim and you suck. Now, go change it. Prove me wrong. Prove us wrong. Prove the world wrong. And prove you were wrong. To yourself. If you amateurs spend half as much energy pointing fingers at us pros and protesting and destroying and complaining and campaigning and posting and fighting, your lives would be so much better and easier. Join the winning team, amateurs. Go pro. We pros are well aware there are the following. Straight people, gay people, bi people, black people, white people, Asian people, Middle Eastern people, Asian people, Native American people, and all the other races, plus fat people, short people, skinny people, tall people, handicapped people, amputees, trans peoples. And guess what? We've always known that. Pros have always known these people exist. And pros never treated these people any differently. You amateurs did. But also, guess what? None of those people that I mentioned deserve special treatment. Not a single one. We all deserve equal treatment. But none of these people and none of those people deserve nor shall get preferential treatment and special attention. Pros are sick of parades, special days, special months, special discounts, special privileges, special consideration for anyone who just happens to not be a heterosexual and or white. Enough. You ain't getting shit from the pros. You absolutely have a right to complain if you are discriminated against for being any of those things, and I do mean any and all. But you will be judged on how you act and on your character. That is something you can control. And that's what we pros will be looking at. That's it. You don't get free stuff, free money, special jobs, special consideration, discounts on loans, or extra business. It stops now. No one cares where you are from, where your ancestors are from, or who you like to have sex with. No one cares. No one has ever cared. No one cares where you are from or where your 23andMe or Ancestry.com results show that you came from. It has nothing to do with how well you do your job or how well you treat others. If you think it does, you are a racist and or a sexist. And you're a bad person and, of course, an amateur. Meanwhile, get the hell out of our way and go attend your little special parade and pity party and whatever you want to reveal bullshit. Subscribe to my YouTube page to see episode previews. I'll be back in a minute.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur
nature habitats and history. Social media plus me, me, me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number three.
A lot of pros, myself included, have often stated the sentiment, if you don't like America and you're so for communism, the door's open, you're free to leave. Which, of course, has amateurs now replying, I don't want to leave. America needs to change. And I remind you of Hollywood millionaire, multimillionaire actor John Cusack that flat out said, America isn't great, it's fucking awful. His words. Just bitching for the sake of sounding rebellious or rising up against, pick one, the patriarchy, white people, capitalism, slavery from 200 plus years ago, and with the fact that they didn't get a trophy for showing up to life today, etc. With plenty of vagaries and no concrete, doable, fair, effective solutions to said problems, let alone specifics of how America is so horrible. At least none based on any kinds of facts, that is. Plenty of feelings and words like change and inclusion and diversity and fairness and equality tossed around. Also without any other consideration of how so many other countries range from not as good as America, Canada, or as The Simpsons calls it, America Junior, to downright uninhabitable. Lots of country to choose from there. Amateurs have been snapping back with, you can't just tell us to leave the country if we don't like it. Sure we can. You want to bitch about the country? Why can't we say that? America was so close to being really great, like the best it would have ever been. All we had to do was not mess it up. America and Americans can kind of run themselves, run itself, because the greater good gets it. Yeah, we need police, the judicial system, and elected officials to make sure things run smoothly, but we don't need them to run our lives and rule us in Pro Nation, because we pros set it up that way. By living our lives the right way, do you understand what second place is in this world on Earth in terms of countries? And America does indeed, and did indeed, have its problems before President Coloring Book and Cammy the Hyena Harris took power. But here's a parallel for you. Imagine living in an apartment with a leaky faucet. All right, so you call the manager, in this case, the government, to come fix what they're in charge of. And you stay because the manager, or the government, got it fixed for you. That's what you pay rent for, right? Now, imagine living in an apartment where you think that every part of your apartment sucks. The leaky faucet, loud racist neighbors, neighbors who don't mind their own business, neighbors who tell you what to do with your apartment, right? They tell you how to decorate it, too high of rent, and no free amenities. So if you lived in an apartment that was heading in that direction, you would leave, wouldn't you? You can't sit there and tell the manager to change. I want free stuff. I want you to fix everything. Take care of the loud racist neighbors. I want you to tell my neighbors to mind their own business. Please tell the neighbors to stop telling me how to decorate and live my life. And I need you, the manager of this apartment, to lower my rent. You couldn't do that. You'd have to leave. Or stay and shut up. You don't like America because of the racist people, the lack of free things, the people who aren't just like you, and neighbors who, for some reason, freak out when you butt into their business. The people who are strapped with guns because you burned down the other nearby apartment. So yeah, get out. Remember all the celebrities who said they were moving to Canada if Trump got elected? I do. I got the list. And every single fucking one of them stayed. I'm sorry for swearing there. I'm really trying to not swear as much on this show, but that's earned. You know I'm right. And that's the difference between America and those other countries that are so oppressive. Those people want to leave, but cannot. You amateurs in America can leave, but won't. Some stuff just doesn't make the cut on the three topics on Amateur Nation, so we put them in this little category called Off Topic. Have you noticed the people who are crapping on America in professional sports are failing? Colin Kaepernick never played worth mentioning after he became a Nike financial drain. Lakami James destroyed his legacy and the league ratings and didn't make it out of the first round of the playoffs. And now Megan Rapinoe and the rest of the U.S. women's national soccer team got trounced by Sweden 3-0 in the Olympic Games in round one. Anti-American sentiment and or a communist mindset translates into weakness. And weakness in sports is not just about physical, but also your state of mind. Misplaced over-emotionality, especially when founded and based on lies, wears at your competitive edge. Here's an overused phrase I have seen in movies literally my entire life that I find to be lazy writing. Anytime someone is accused of a crime, they always reply with this, "I don't know what you're talking about." Which basically says, "I know exactly what you're talking about." It's always those exact words. "I don't know what you're talking about. Isn't it true that you robbed this guy?" "I don't know what you're talking about." Why don't they ever say, "What? What? What do you mean?" Or "Get the hell out of here." But it's always, "I don't know what you're talking about." Writers, step it up. And speaking of movies, I recently watched Air Force One with Harrison Ford for the very first time the other day. I guess I never got around to seeing it. And by now, since the movie has been out since 1997, I am going to spoil it for you. Obviously, the plot of the movie is a president and most of his staff have been hijacked on Air Force One. About one-third into the crisis, they went to a shot where they showed CNN reporting that Air Force One had crashed. Not missing, not hijacked, as it was, crashed. How prophetic. Even then, they had the reputation for perpetuating fake news and lies. And the famous line that Harrison Ford says to Gary Oldman, "Get off my plane." I started laughing, thinking, man, if this was President Coloring Book, he would say, "Get off my, you know, the thing." Time now for some things that are done right. Three of them, in fact. That's why we call it three pro things. Number one. You know, Ohio makes me proud. I moved back September 29th after being raised here, living most of my life here. And Ohio makes me proud to be an Ohioan once again with this headline in people.com. Here's your headline. Owner of Ohio Pizzeria gives full day of sales to employees to show his gratitude. Here's the article. An Ohio pizzeria owner wanted to show his appreciation for his employees, and thanks to the community, he was able to over-deliver. On July 5th, Heavenly Pizza owner Josh Elkert held his Employee Appreciation Day at the Finley-based business, according to a video posted on the pizzeria's Facebook page. Instead of simply telling his employees he valued them, Elkert showed them actions by taking the entire day of sales and giving it back to the employees who worked that day. Thanks to the community, the day was a major success, bringing in 220 orders for a total of $6,300 in sales and $1,200 in tips. Divided amongst the staff and the 96 total hours they worked, each employee made $78 per hour. "Well, you guys are awesome. Thanks to all of you, our employees had a huge day," Elkert revealed. "Better than I had hoped." He added, "You could have the best pizza in the world. If you have no one here to make it, it doesn't matter." Elkert first revealed his plans to hold an Employee Appreciation Day on June 22nd after being impressed by his employees' work ethic during the pandemic. Do you see that, amateurs? The owner was impressed by his employees' work ethic, their actions. Good breeds good. They didn't complain to the boss, we need more money. Which would have put a bad taste in his mouth. He's like, "Yeah, we all want more money. What do you want me to do? I've been shut down too. I'm the owner of this business. I got my ass kicked in the pandemic just like everybody else." But instead, the employees, like the pros they are, stepped up, showed good work ethic and loyalty, and he rewarded that. He explained, "Our employees have been doing so great during COVID, during the pandemic, during this season of uncertainty. They have been just fantastic. They show up every day. They're here in a good mood. We want to take a day and appreciate them." Number two. I'll just set this up quickly. Here we go. 10-year-old boy speaks in front of city council. Enjoy.
"I just turned 10 years old and I am a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams. I expected school to be a little bit different in the beginning, but I didn't think it would stay this way all year long. And I was surprised by the rules. A lot of them time didn't make any sense to me, like the fact that we were not allowed to play on the playground or have student council, or turn to face each other at lunch, and we also have to wear masks outside at PE and on track. I love my school and all, but my teachers seem really stressed, and that makes me feel bad. One teacher walks around with a clipboard full of referrals for any student whose mask isn't on properly. It makes me feel scared. That same teacher yells at us having our masks down to drink water while we are outside in Carline. She told us we had to wait until we were in our parents' car to have a drink of water. She had her mask down the entire time while she was yelling at us, which makes me and all my friends very mad. This happens a lot. And it seems unfair teachers take their masks off while they yell at us kids and that we need to pull ours up. I asked my mom if there is a word for this, and she said there is. Hypocrisy. Wearing a mask all day makes me feel really tired and gives me really bad headaches. Sometimes I miss school and I need to lay low till they're gone. My mask also sticks to my face when it's really hot, and it makes it hard to breathe. I feel like I can't catch my breath, and that makes me feel claustrophobic and anxious. It's really stressful. I finished taking all of my FSAs, and I had a hard time focusing with a mask on. A few weeks ago, I ran into my teacher outside of school. She didn't even recognize me because she's never seen my face before. But I knew it was her because she sits at her desk a lot without a mask on. I know my teacher has asthma and everything, but I understand why it's hard for her to wear a mask. And I think she should have that choice. But I should too. I have allergies, and I feel really anxious with my face covered. But I'm not allowed a mask break like her. It seems unfair. All this seems unfair, and it doesn't make sense. I miss seeing people's face. I miss the way things used to be. I'm scared they'll never go back to normal. Breathing freely doesn't seem like something we should have to ask any other people for permission for. Please make masks optional today. It would be so awesome to end the school year on a really happy note like that. Thank you for your time.
Someone's parents are doing their job well. Number three. As opposed to the professional athletes who get paid well for doing their job and getting endorsements and still complain about America and their oppression, this quote from Olympic hopeful swimmer Michael Andrew. He said this: going to the games, not only unvaccinated, but as an American, I'm representing my country in multiple ways and the freedoms we have to make a decision like that. That was the sound of a mic drop. Keep an eye out for the new No Amateurs tees and keychains on lewsantini.com. Catch short sneak peek audiograms for next week. Follow me on Instagram at lewsantini3 if by the time of this podcast airing, they have removed their suspension of my content. That's a fact. And you can follow me on facebook.com/lewsantinientertainment where I post 60-second video previews every Thursday. If you have a comment or criticism, you can email me, lou@lewsantini.com. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. And remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. I'm gonna miss you.